Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 267. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of James, the 5th chapter. James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, and shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Jeremy van Heichenbos, who has come home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient God of the heavens, of the earth, thou who hast created us and all things in this world, in this universe, and thou who also upholdest all things by thy providence, thou knowest the reason that we have set aside this day, this work day in this week, to come together as a congregation, that we may beseech thy face, that we may seek of thee the blessings of this natural life, which alone can come from thee. Lord, we must acknowledge that we are dependent creatures. So thou hast made us, when thou created us good and upright, then it was in thy power and in thy providence that thou didst provide for man in everything. Yet he was commanded by thee to labor. Lord, wilt thou remember us because we now lie in our own sin, and we have brought upon us the thorns and the thistles which shall come up again in that season that lieth before us when we are spared and when this world is spared. And then we have to struggle against all the fruit of our own sin. Lord, wilt thou give us understanding hearts in that season that lies before us? For every trouble and every cross providence and every affliction that is our own doing. But Lord, may it please thee to bless and to sanctify thy ways unto us and unto our dear children, that we may be given understanding hearts, and that by thy ways we may be led to a true repentance, and that we may be drawn to seek thee, who, though we have turned our back unto thee, and we have left thee days without number, and though we have by nature no desire after thee, the true and the living God, that thou still bearest with us to provide food and drink and clothing and shelter and all that is necessary in this life. Lord, wilt thou give us so also to love one another? And we have read in thy word of patience, and we have no patience with one another, though thou hast so much patience with us. Could it please thee to provide for us in the season that is to come? Lord, thou knowest the need in a special way of the cattle farmers and all that has come against them. We ask of thee, Lord, to give a little reprieve, that thou would supply for them yet in that season that lies before us, that they may be enabled to support their own families and also us as a congregation, all the needs and all the cares that are required. Lord, that they also may be given a cry to thee, and each one of us in the individual circumstances in our life, as each goes about his task in this life to provide for his family. Lord, may thou give thy blessing upon all our labors. But oh, may it not be that we would continue with blessings in the ways of sin, because thou knowest our hearts and what lies therein. And we have, Lord, no faith in thee. We do not believe in thee. We have no need for thee, and we take all thy blessings for granted. And still we ask it of thee every time again, though we are so unworthy. Give us a little to feel in this morning, that our hearts may be humbled in the dust of self-abasement before thy throne,
that we indeed may see our great unworthiness, and that we may beseech thee as those who have no rights, and that we may have a desire also, as we seek of thee the blessings also, to turn unto thee with all our heart and with all our might and with all our strength. Lord, wilt thou teach us also how to live in an upright way before thee according to thy holy word, because we are also foolish creatures and we need instruction day by day from on high. Oh, that thou would thyself supply in all our needs. Give us to be honest. Give us to be earnest and upright and forthright before thee. Wilt thou look upon all those that have special needs also in this life? Remember the widows and the widowers and the orphans and all those that do miss their loved ones, fathers, mothers, that must miss children, husbands, and wives that mourn over the loss of their spouses. Lord, look upon each one in their circumstances, and may thou supply from on high also for those that have other needs. There are so many, and there are crosses that are known to thee and that are sometimes not shared with any man in this world. But Lord, may they find a place at thy footstool, and that all these things may lead us also to desire spiritual gifts, we and our children. Lord, there are so many of them also here in this morning hour. Oh, that thou may also give unto them a blessing. Oh, that in this season we may be given the rain from the skies, and not only upon the natural earth. But Lord, we are attempting to sow also the seed of thy word in the midst of the congregation. Oh, that we may be even as that sower that we read in thy word, that he goes forth weeping. Oh, that thou may give us a heart that may weep, and that the congregation also may be bound upon our heart for the soul's welfare in the uppermost place. And that thou may pour out, Lord, the rain of thy Spirit upon us. Lord, what an easy task it shall be in the coming season to sow thy word, when thou wilt give that the plow may also plow the fallow ground. Oh, and that earth, Lord, may only go open, and there may only be those who must cry out under the burden of sin and iniquity. Oh, and there may only be those who feel something of how poor that they are, that they are without God in this world. Oh, and there may only be a hunger, when there may only be a thirst and a cry from these pews that go up to the Lord of Sabaoth for an undeserved blessing for our poor soul. Lord, then what an easy task that it shall be to sow that seed and to preach thy everlasting gospel for the greatest, for the chiefest of the sinners. O Lord, to whom else can we go, that we beseech of thee for us and for our dear children, this our congregation, and may it be even the whole denomination in that season that lies before us. And then, Lord, we hope also in the coming season, in the coming months, to gather as a curatorium. O Lord, we beseech thee for sowers in the vineyard, that thou may send them forth. Oh, that thou may work with might and with power, and wilt thou grant true conversions, clear conversions, that it may be thy hand that may be felt in the midst of the congregations, that there may be men that are wrought upon, that may feel the burden of the souls, and that may not be able to stay away. O Lord, wilt thou bind it upon their hearts? O that thou would give men in thy favor, that thou would remember the vacant congregations, and that thou would give that thy name may be glorified. Oh, that we may be gladdened in the coming season with thy glorious deeds, and that thy people may be given to rejoice. Do remember all thy servants in this day, that do go forth in the preaching of thy word. Lord, wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, also those that are in the sister congregations close by. Lord, wilt thou help them also in this day, and grant thy blessing. Do look upon the child that was brought home from the hospital. Make it well for his body, increase his health and his strength. And wilt thou supply for the parents also, and give humble hearts under thy goodness. Lord, wilt thou go before us as a congregation, then for needs natural and for needs spiritual. And may thou give in this morning hour also a little freedom to bring thy word. Lord, thou knowest all our circumstances. Wilt thou come and wilt thou help us? Oh, may thou fill us with thy Holy Spirit and make this an easy and a loving task. And may thou make it easy also to listen and all give, and that the hearts may be brought to live along, and that thy people may receive edification, that others may be born in Zion, and so that thou thyself would dwell in the midst of us, be with all that were not able to be here, those that must do their labors in this day. May thou grant them a cry also in their places, and a blessing out of thy heavenly store. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 176, all stanzas. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, that so thy way most holy on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. There is one collection today that is for the school, Psalter 176, all stanzas.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the chapter that was read to you, James 5. And there are verses 16, the second part, through verse 18. James 5, verses 16b through 18. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So far the words of our text. The prayer of Elias. First, how he prayed. Second, for what he prayed. Third, the answer to his prayer. The prayer of Elias. First, how he prayed. Second, for what he prayed. Third, the answer to his prayer. It is Congregation Prayer Day. And we have in our heart, by nature, no prayer. Why is that? We have in our deep fall left God. And when we were created dependent upon the Lord, boys and girls. What does that mean? Dependent upon the Lord. That means that we needed to receive everything from Him. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, then there was only one that could make everything to grow. And who was that? That was God Himself. And what did our first parents do, Adam and Eve? They have left the Lord. They have said that they did not want the Lord to tell them what to do, that they were going to say themselves what to do, and they would be as God Himself. That means they would be independent creatures instead of being dependent creatures. And what must we say in this day? Is it not true that as long as we do not feel a dependence, as long as we feel that we are able to provide for ourselves something, whatever it is, then we can leave the Lord well enough in His own place. Then we do not pray unto the Lord. Prayer does not belong to proud people. Proud people stand in, and a humble person that is bowing, he is stooping before God with his face to the earth. And thus a proud person desires to ask of the Lord nothing. And yet, and we are born, each one of us, with an innate knowledge. Thus there is still something left, some sparks of that image in which we have been created, so that even those persons in this world that will deny with their mouth the existence of God and their dependence upon Him, that in that moment, when they come into great trouble, in that moment when they are made to feel something of their weakness, of their inability, then in that moment there is a cry unto God. Maybe they don't say who that God is. Maybe they do not confess the triune God. But there is still something in their heart that is crying after that supreme being, the Almighty God. And that is the reason, to our shame, that the Lord often has to bring us into affliction in order that He may make us to cry unto Him, that the Lord often has to make us to feel in a very special way what our weakness is and all our inability. Therefore, prayer, true prayer, that is something that needs to be planted, it needs to be placed, it needs to be worked by the Lord Himself within our heart. No, not all prayer. We say true prayer because, boys and girls, your mother and your father also teach you to pray. And when you go to bed, when you arise, when you are at the table, then you also learn how to pray. Do you continue to do that, young people? Or are you sometimes, when you are with other people in this world, are you then ashamed to fold your hands and to close your eyes and to pray unto the Lord? That is a false shame. When we are ashamed to pray to God. And yet, how do we pray? In what manner do we pray? You say, does that make any difference how that we pray? Not every prayer that is prayed in this world is heard by the Lord. There are many so-called prayers of yours and of mine that are mere formality, that are mere custom, that we do merely with our intellect, that we do merely with our mind. Sometimes we pray even to be seen and to be heard of men. Even as the Lord Jesus has condemned the Pharisaical prayers. The Lord says, ye shall not fast as ye do this day in order to make your prayer, your voice, to be heard on high. You shall not do it in that way and in order that I may hear and that I may answer your prayer. It is not that prayer that is exalted by men for the much speaking and for the much fluency of words that the Lord is hearing. It is not for our eloquence in prayer that is in the eyes of the Lord only an abomination. But what does our text say? Elias was a man that was subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Thus we see that it was an earnest prayer. Do we know what that is, congregation? An earnest prayer. Do we know what that is, young people, to pray earnestly? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thus it speaks of earnestness and it speaks about fervency. Maybe there was a time that we were in the hospital And then we have prayed maybe as we have never prayed before in our life. Maybe we had some accident, maybe we had some disease, maybe that we had to undergo a certain operation. And then we felt in a very special way a great need. So we began to pray, and we prayed. We could feel it. We prayed in a much more earnest way than yes, we must admit that we are really used to praying in our life. Maybe we have had a father, a mother, a brother, a sister that was sick. Maybe that were even brought on their deathbed. And then how we have prayed, and we have prayed so earnestly. Is that then that earnestness that our text is speaking about here? When the Lord says that Elias or Elijah, that he has prayed so very earnestly. And that is not necessarily the same. How many earnest prayers do not go up unto God, which are never heard? Because especially today, then man says, as long as you are sincere, as long as you are earnest in what you believe, in what you feel, in what you pray, and then it is sufficient. That earnestness that is from the Lord. All is well as long as we are sincere. Do you know a cry, boys and girls? Do you know a cry that went up from men who were very, very earnest? Oh, we can read that in the time of Elijah. We can read of that upon the top of that mount. That all of those prophets of Baal, they were very, very earnestly praying. But though they were so sincere, so earnest, that they were cutting themselves even with knives to make the blood flow from them, so earnest that they were leaping upon the altar which they made, yet their cry was never heard. So it is not in our earnestness. It is not sincerity in and of itself that makes a prayer, a cry, a true cry. But we read here the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, of a righteous man, availeth much. So what was that then? And what is that? This effectual, fervent prayer. Actually, in the original, before that it was translated into the English language, these two words, effectual, earnest, are actually one word in the original language. But that is apparently a word for which we do not have a word. That is a word that is very sublime, that is a word that is very high in its meaning. And therefore, the translators of the King James Version, they have used two words for that one word in order to try to explain to us, that it would come across to us what this word means, the effectual, fervent prayer. But what is that actually? That is speaking about a prayer that is wrought. A prayer that is actually incited. That is a prayer that is actually worked within a person. It implies a great power.
Thus it is implying the working of the Holy Spirit in the prayer within the heart of a man, the effectual, fervent prayer, the Spirit-wrought prayer, that prayer that is descending in itself already from above. Thus, when our text speaks about Elias, and that he prayed earnestly, actually, and then it means literally that he prayed a prayer, or that he prayed within his prayer. Thus, it is possible to have earnestness in prayer that comes all from ourselves. It is possible to have an earnestness in prayer that comes out of our own emotions, and that is wrought within us because of our self-interests. But that is not that same earnestness and that same fervency of prayer that the Lord is sometimes working within the heart of His own church and within the heart of His own servants. We read of this same desire in that fervency within the heart of the Son of God Himself. When we read that he with desire to eat that Passover with his disciples. Thus we read of a prayer actually that is coming from the Lord, and it is also ascending unto the Lord. Such a prayer That is not revealed to us by eloquency of our speech, but that is revealed in a certain heartfelt earnestness and oneness with the will of God. And a desiring of that portion that the Lord will grant unto His own church, thus manifesting itself in groans and in sighs which sometimes cannot even come forth out of within the words of a man, characterizing itself in a wrestling as Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. The Lord says, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Thus, that is what it is speaking about. The Lord pouring out a spirit of supplication, a spirit of prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thus you say that belongs to a righteous man, that does not belong to me. But when we read here a righteous man, and then we do not read of the Lord speaking about a righteous man in and of himself, but we speak of a righteous man who is righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one who may receive a prayer from above. How do we know this? Because we have here an example set before us. That is Elias, that is Elijah. Say, who of us can stand next to Elijah when he prayed? That was a man that has worked great miracles in his life. That was a man by whom even the dead were raised from life. That was a man by whom fire has descended out of heaven. That is true.
No, we cannot place ourselves next to this holy man of God. And yet, at the same time, James says here that he was a man of like passions as we are. He says he was a man. He was not an angel. No, and he had the same like passions as you and me. He was subject to the same weariness. He was subject to the same afflictions, to the same trials in his life. He was subject to that same unbelief that all his children are subject unto. That same despondency he has even asked of the Lord, if the Lord would take away his life from him. Thus, a man that was subject to like passions as you and I, praying such a prayer, he also needed the Spirit to help him in his infirmities, that he would know what he should pray for as he ought. And he also was given such a spirit and such a supplication. And then especially for his people, the people of the Lord. We see that in the second place for what he prayed. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Boys and girls, what did we pray for? We say it is prayer day, so what do we pray for? Well, there is a coming season, the Lord willing, if he will spare us. And then we have asked the Lord that he will give us his blessing. We have asked the Lord that he will give us rain from the skies, that he will give us sunshine so that all of the crops are able to grow, that we would receive prosperity, God's blessing upon our labors. And now what do we read here? Here we read of the servant of the Lord, and he is asking just the opposite. He is praying, and he is praying very earnestly that it might not rain. Maybe one time your father, when you were around the table in the harvest season, maybe one time you have heard your father pray the same, that the Lord would withhold the rain from the sky because they were not able to get out with the tractors in the field. They were not able to bring in all the harvest unless the Lord would withhold some of that rain. So we see that that rain or that sunshine that is all given from above, we are not able to give that at all. Then we feel something of how dependent that we are upon the Lord. You know also when the temple was dedicated, how that Solomon prayed, and Solomon said, Lord, when thy people come here into thy house and they pray to thee when there is no rain, and then wilt thou hear from heaven thy dwelling place and give rain from the skies and give thy blessing upon thy people? Is that the same now here with Elijah? That he is asking that there would be no rain so that they may be able to harvest in the field? No, that is not the same thing. He is not asking for no rain for the same reason. We have asked and do ask for the blessing of the Lord in the coming season. And Elijah has asked for the judgment. He has asked the Lord to bring a judgment upon his people. So you could understand that if Elijah was praying about the enemies of the Lord, that the Lord would withhold his blessing from the enemy, which is fighting against the Lord and against the people of the Lord, then we could understand that Elijah would ask for such a thing. Joshua asked for such a thing when they were fighting against their enemies, and Joshua asked the Lord if he would make the sun and the moon to stand still so that they may have the victory over all of their enemies. You say that is understandable. The disciples, they have even asked the Lord if he would bring his, if they may ask for the judgments to come upon his enemies, the Samaritans who did not receive the Lord Jesus. Oh, then we can understand a little bit what was laying in the heart of those disciples, and yet it was not a right prayer that they prayed. And Elijah here does not ask as Joshua, but Elijah here is asking the Lord to give a judgment upon his own people, against his own people whom he loved. We would say, how can such a thing ever be justified? May we do that? Ought we have in this morning to ask the Lord, Lord, in the coming season, that thou would give no rain? We must, congregation, be very, very careful, because we have said in the first place that this was a prayer that was worked by the Holy Spirit himself. Thus, that was not a prayer that came merely out of the heart of God's servant. But this was a prayer that the Lord himself is working within him. This is not something that Elijah has prayed out of revenge. This is not something because of personal resentment against that people. No, there was something of that in the heart of the disciples. And when they asked if they may pray for the judgment against the Samaritans, say that was out of love for the Lord Jesus. That is true. There was in their heart love for the Lord Jesus. But there was also so much in it of themselves. And there is also so much so often in it of ourselves also. How was this now in the heart of Elijah? Elijah, congregation, was as a father unto that children of Israel. Sometimes boys and girls, sometimes it is necessary, maybe, that your father chastise you, that your father punish you, because he has told you and told you and maybe told you three times, and you did not listen. And then it is necessary that your father will punish you. And now Elijah is a servant of the Lord unto his own people, the people of Israel. The king is a very wicked king. That is King Ahab. And he is himself governed. He is himself incited by his wicked wife Jezebel, who is nothing but a Baal worshiper. And Elijah has spoken, and Elijah has spoken, and Elijah has spoken. And the people, they will not listen. They scorned his words. They were not Elijah's words. No, they were the words of the Lord given by the Lord for Elijah to speak. But the people finally will not hear. And now it was with the good of that nation. It was with the welfare of that nation lying in the heart of God's servant Elijah, that Elijah is incited by the Spirit of the Lord to ask of the Lord, Lord, I see no other way that this people shall ever be brought to true repentance. And therefore the Spirit is working this prayer in the heart of this servant of the Lord to ask for a judgment. Why? For the sake of a judgment? No, he did not ask for a judgment for judgment's sake. He did not desire judgment like Jonah desired judgment on the Ninevites. He did not desire punishment of the people. He desired that they would be chastised. Lord, bring something. Oh, touch them, Lord, somehow, in order that they may be brought to true repentance. Though thus he asks for a judgment in order that that people may receive a blessing. And now outside of such a Spirit-wrought cry in the heart of the people of the Lord, in the heart of the servants of the Lord, we may not ask for the judgments of the Lord. Congregation, how far is our nation from the right place? How far are we as a denomination from the right place, as families and as persons? Sometimes you would think, what will bring us as a country in the right place in the midst of all our open wickedness, except that the Lord may bring upon us his judgments? And yet, congregation, let us be careful, because judgments in themselves will bring a man nowhere. Judgments in themselves will only bring a man, a nation, to curse God. Even as Job's wife said to him, curse God and die, when she saw all the judgments that the Lord brought upon his servant. It is not judgments. It is the work of the Spirit of the Lord that needs to turn a person from his evil way. Remember also that God's people, when we ask for judgments, Elijah knew that also, they will not only come on the wicked, no, they will also come on the people of the Lord, although they will be cared for. If the Lord is willing, we hope to consider some of that this evening. Later on, we read that Elijah, he prays for fire from heaven upon that altar. Once again, we must say that that prayer that is out of that Spirit of the Lord, that is not to be imitated by us in our day. They lived in the Old Testament. They lived in the time of shadows, wherein the Lord often had to teach his people by outward things. And so the Lord has often opened the eyes of his people in such a natural way that had been closed by their rebellion and by their wickedness. And when we think sometimes, what would happen to us if the Lord would now do the same unto us? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But outside of his blessing, it brings forth nothing. The Lord Jesus says, if someone returned from the dead, not only from the dead, but if someone returned out of hell, then he would not be able to convince you or me to turn from our wickedness and to seek that living God. Is that not the truth? When we look about us and we see all the creation of the Lord, the design in the creation, the wonders of the creation, and with our technology are able to look so far into that vast universe and so far deeply with our microscopes into the what constitutes all the matter in this world, you would say, if that would not break the heart of man, what would now break the heart of man? One thing, the Spirit of the Lord. Let us sing. Psalter 166. 166 stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166. our last thought, the answer to this prayer. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. We read about Joshua's prayer when he prayed to God and he asked the sun and the moon to stand still. We read of that incident that there was no day like that before it. There will be no day after it. We read where the Lord was pleased to hearken unto the voice of a man. Thus, for the Lord to stop, as it were, the whole universe at the bidding, at the request of a person, of a man. We would say surely that the miracle of stopping the rain for 3 years and 6 months, that did not attain in its magnitude to that day of in the life of Joshua. That is true, and yet, congregation, the wonder is exactly the same. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man who cried unto him. And yet, on the other hand, it is no wonder. Why is it no wonder? Because we said, where did that cry come from? That cry that came from God Himself. It was God Himself that was going to do a wonder. It was God Himself who had decreed these wonders to take place. And then God has given in the heart of His servants, in the heart of His people, to pray beforehand even for that wonder. Thus the Lord is often inciting that prayer in the heart of His church. We say that the Lord is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Is that not so, boys and girls? That He is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I hope you may experience that in your life. But if you will experience that in your life, then you will say, minister, you are incomplete. Because He is not only a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. No, He is also a prayer giving God. And that is coming first. That the Lord is working that supplication. And when the Lord is working that supplication, then it is a supplication that He will hear and that He will answer. Thus the Lord is laying a burden upon the soul by times of His own people. And that burden that is felt, that is experienced in the life of that people. That they may say, I received a prayer. I received a cry. That is a cry, a prayer of faith. A prayer wherein they may ask. Believing, as James says, by faith, that they shall receive it. Otherwise, we cannot believe that we will receive it. In Hannah is worked a cry to God, even for the birth of her dear son.
This was a son that God would give unto her. It would be a prophet that would go before his people. And in the heart of that woman, the Lord has laid a burden to cry to him. And she has experienced that burden. She has experienced that prayer of faith that may go out to God. And then she may believe before it came to pass that the Lord shall indeed fulfill it. And therefore she rises up and her countenance that is no more sad. Congregation, is there now a people who may say that they may know something of receiving such a prayer in your heart? To be given in your own life that prayer of that supplication of the Spirit of the Lord. That burden, especially for the Church of God, that it is laying on your soul. In times when the rain of the Spirit, especially, that is so withheld. In times when there is so little fruit to be seen, that is evident, that is manifest in the denomination, in the congregations. That there may be a cry, a Spirit-wrought cry to God, that he may bring forth fruit, that he may give the rain of his Spirit in the midst of his church. Sometimes that is even also for the natural things that the Lord may do for his people as he has promised, that their bread may be given them and that their water may be sure. Congregation, it is prayer day, but who can pray? The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. That is, give us that prayer that is worked by thee, by thy own Holy Spirit. And aside from this, we cannot pray. James says, ye ask and ye don't receive it. And why don't you receive it? Because you ask amiss. Say, we ask amiss. Do we ask amiss this day that the Lord will give us the blessings of the field? Why do we want them? Why? James says, ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Is that not so? Does it not lie in my heart? Does it not lie in your heart? Lord, grant us thy blessing because we want to prosper and we want to receive all of the good from the hand of the Lord. Is there any thought this morning, what shall we do with it? When the Lord would give us his blessings. And when the Lord would give us life and health and strength in our bodies in the coming season with all the blessings of the Lord. Is there any thought, one thought in this morning that we say, Lord, do it that I might love thee. Do it that I might serve thee. Do it that I might turn away from my sin. Do it that I may walk in thy ways. What is in our heart? Then we, each one of us, can give an answer to God. If our supplication in this morning, that was not an asking amiss to consume it upon our lusts. We need something else, don't we? We need not just blessings. No, we need to be turned. That is what Elijah saw. That is what Elijah saw. He said, Lord, they don't need just rain. They don't need just food. They don't need just prosperity.
Oh Lord, they need to be turned. They need to be drawn unto thyself. And I fear there is no way except thou wilt withhold thy rain. Congregation, we will not ask for it. No, we do not dare. But oh, may we have, may the goodness of the Lord break our hearts so that he does not have to send his judgments in order that our hearts may be broken and that for the first time or by renewal, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is that burden laid in the heart of that true church. We see that in the Word of God. It availeth much. Oh, that effectual, fervent prayer of Hezekiah that has wrought the deliverance of the children of Israel. An angel from heaven to destroy all the enemies of that people of the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of Moses that availed very much. That availed the turning of God himself away from the judgments that he had spoken against his people because of their sin. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of Elijah. What has it wrought? What has it wrought? A people for how many years who have served the idols. And now we hear them. They say, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And they take the 450 prophets of Baal and they slay them before the Lord. Say it was only temporary. It was not heartfelt. Later on, they turned from those ways again. That is true. It was only outward. And yet, what a wonder if we may even have an outward turning unto the Lord. Could we only but see the same thing? Could it but be even in an outward way here in our own country? Can you imagine that? When there would be a law made in our country that every Sabbath day every store, business closed. Say it is impossible. Can you imagine it? That in our country a law that abortions forbidden. Say it is impossible. What does the Lord say? The Lord says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. May the Lord have good in store. And if the Lord may have such a blessing in store, he will also work that cry, spirit wrought, in the heart of his people. He will also lay that burden upon His own church. And the Lord, indeed, He is going to take care of His church. That is something that is not doubtful. They are the objects of the prayer of the righteous man. The righteous man. And who is that righteous man? That is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is endued with that Spirit of God without measure, in order to supplicate unto His Father for what? For the welfare of His people. Does not take them out of the world. No, but He prays that they may be kept from the evil of the world. He knows what is best for them also in the way of chastisements in this world. Then He may also do as Elijah. And He may also say to His Father, is that necessary, people of the Lord? He may say to His Father, withhold now then the rain from them. And give to them some affliction. And that through much tribulation, they may enter into that kingdom of God. Whom He loves, He chastens. And for that purpose, that there is love dwelling in the heart for His church, chastens in order that He may bless them. Congregation, are we also? Are we also one of the objects of the prayer of that righteous man that availeth much? Do you know what He says then to His church? He says to pray without ceasing. How is that, people of the Lord? Pray without ceasing. Sometimes, then you wish that you could be brought to that place again of that publican who stood in the back of the temple and who smote upon his breast. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But in your heart, there is so much coldness. Then you cannot pray even or bring yourself into such a state and condition. What a wonder that He prays. He who has always heard by His Father that effectual, fervent prayer of that Son of God, that great high priest, who will pray for His people without ceasing, that those who cannot pray aright, may still receive the greatest blessing. Congregation, may that be what we are seeking in that season that lies before us. May that be the prosperity that we desire together. And that we may know of receiving something of it. The blessing of the reign of His Spirit amongst us as a congregation. Or will we not ask for it? And that when we come together in that house of God, that the Lord would reign upon us in great measure that Spirit that we cannot miss. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive our many sins. In speaking and in listening, bless Thy word. O draw us, turn us, seek us out, and deal not with us as our sins so deserve. Bring us safely home. Keep us this day. Give us a desire to be together again in this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 86, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah hear, fear, and let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun, stood fast at his command. 1, 2, and 3, and Psalter number 86. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.